So our scripture today is from Mark. It's chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were coming out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so John would have been a pretty unusual looking guy. And so one of the things that I always wonder, if there was a John-like prophet now and he was dressed that way on the corner of any corner, any street, anywhere, whether I would go, "Man, what a weirdo," and get away from him as fast as I can, or if I would be willing to listen to him. And I think if we all think about that, we'd all be kind of wondering the same thing. So John was sent out to deliver this message, and it was to cleanse and purify everybody because people had gotten away from God. Probably not that much different a time as we are in now. Now, in William Barclay's commentary, he was given an example. We sometimes think that one person can't make a difference in a community. And so this was he gave this example of Billy Graham was in Shreveport, Louisiana. I think it was in the 50s. And he came there for a week to do, he's going to preach for a week, a revival. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. A revival. And so in that week he was there, sales of liquor fell by 40%. But at the same time, sales of Bibles increased by 300%. Now, we don't know the numbers, and I'm not sure how big Shreveport is, but it shows you that one person can make a difference. And I'm just giving you that as an example to show that just as John went out in the desert and changed many lives, we all have the opportunity to do that. And so Jesus does create change in our lives. And so I didn't put it on the prayer list this time, but almost every Sunday, we pray for the end of violence in the world. This morning on the news, there were two shootings that they talked about in Indianapolis, and who knows how many that there were shootings that they didn't talk about because it happens so often. When we were in Birmingham the week before, they talked about Birmingham was setting a record. They had 110 killings. Now, Indianapolis, which I think is a little bigger city, they're up closer to almost one a day. They're up in like a couple, 200 or 300 category. And so the problem that we need to be concerned with is it happens so often that we don't pay attention to it. We become callous to it. And so we know that the Lord Jesus, as it makes a change in our lives, can make a change in anybody's life. The question is, the messenger, which is us sometimes, whoever the messenger is, to reach out and talk to them, to make the world a better place. Now, when it talks about baptism here, there's a couple things I need to tell you so it'll make this story make more sense. If you were born as a Jewish person, you were not baptized because you were already okay. You were perfect. You know, you're not been perfect, but you were perfect for baptism anyway. If you were a Gentile and you were going to join the church, there were three things you had to do. You had to be circumcised, you had to make a sacrifice to God, and you had to be baptized. So in this story, when we're talking about being baptized, he's baptizing not only Gentiles, but he's baptizing Jews. And so I think that because we don't really understand that that would be unusual, you need to just pay attention to that because he's saying he needs to get everybody prepared to meet Jesus. So in a baptism. And so I'm just going to tell you right here, if there's, because I didn't write this down, but I knew I was going to say it. If there's anybody here that's never been baptized and you want to be baptized, come and see me after the service because we can arrange that for you. And I don't care if you want to be sprinkled, if you want to have poured over your head, if you want to be immersed inside, or if you want to do it outside. I would prefer not to do it outside until it gets a little warmer, though. But I'm open to whatever you guys want to do. And so even though a lot of people in here are older, I've learned a lesson a long time ago when I was at Bethel, because I was teaching a Sunday school class, and there was a couple in there, and they were both in their 70s. She came up to me afterwards and asked to be baptized, because she grew up in the Friends Church, and that wasn't something they believed in, at least not when she was younger. So I'm not going to assume either way. But we're going to talk about baptism a little bit. It required a confession. So part of it was to ourselves, because one of the things that we have to do is we have to be willing to forgive ourselves. And sometimes we're harder on ourselves than we are people around us. We had to ask forgiveness for those people that we've wronged. Now, I don't care who the best person is in this room. I'm not going to ask for volunteers. But whoever they are, you're likely to have wronged someone sometime in your life. Sometimes it happens accidentally because you thought one thing was going on and they thought something else was going on. But apologize. And don't wait too long, because sometimes that chance goes away. Like they say on ESPN, when someone's hurt, they're day-to-day. We're all day-to-day. We don't really know when our time's coming up. And so if there's someone in your life that you've wronged, go apologize. And then we need to ask forgiveness from God for how we've wronged Him and what He wants us to do. And so that forgiveness to God is kind of an end of our personal pride, where we think we're so much better and greater than everybody else and we can get out of our own way. But it's also the beginning for forgiveness. And sometimes, a lot of times, that forgiveness is to us. So let's talk about John's message. Have anyone here ever petted a camel? Okay. Just turn around and describe how coarse that hair is. It's like someone, the best way I could describe it was, it's like somebody sort of had what I call the scruffy beard, except longer and scruffier. I mean, it's just so coarse. And so if you ever get a chance to pet one, but I can never imagine him wearing that camel skin, because I just think it's got to be just as rough every time it touches you. And I've already talked about, you know, what he looked like. He went out in this desert, and when we were in Israel, that part where the Jordan River is, where they do baptisms now, there's really nothing around it. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. He had this camel's hair coat on. He had to look like a wreck. And his favorite food was locusts, which we've only got one winter here that's willing to eat locusts, apparently. Honey's okay, but I don't know that I've ever had wild honey where I just went in. I don't know if it tastes sweet or if it's different. But I'm just not sure I could do that. And so he's telling this message that God, he knows that God has sent him out here to prepare the way. And so his message is effective. Well, the reason it's effective is because even though people didn't want to hear it necessarily, they knew what he was telling them was the truth. And sometimes it's not so much that when we listen to somebody. So we've all had to listen to our parents at some time when we didn't really want to, whether you're 7 or 70, okay? And even though we may not like hearing the message, we knew what they were telling us was right. We may not have been doing it, we may not have been acting the way they wanted us to, but we knew the message was right. And that's what John is doing here. He's telling the people what they already knew. And for the Jewish people, this is the first prophet that they've had in over 300 years. His message was humble. It's not, look how great I am, how wonderful it is that I'm going to tell you about the coming of Jesus. He's not doing that. And I've already told you guys before, a lot of times when you watch the ministries on TV, they're telling you how great and wonderful they are and how you're supposed to send money and do all this stuff. I sometimes think they kind of miss the whole message of how are we supposed to be led to God. But he's not doing that. He wants everybody, so we already talked about the sandals thing in the children's story, but he wants to make sure that you know that the person that's coming, he's not even worthy to tie their shoes. So later, and well, next year, early next year, we're going to have a foot washing that you can all participate in. You get to be washed, I'll do the washing. But I will tell you, whatever end of that foot washing you're on, that is a hard thing to do. It is hard to let somebody do it. It is hard to do it. But it just gives you an idea how John was humbling himself. He wanted everybody to know that this message that he was talking about was not about him. It's about the coming of the Messiah. So he's telling them about the power of the Holy Spirit that's coming, and what that Spirit will do is allow everyone's life to be cleansed, for people individually to know the Lord and not always be worried about themselves, and to clear out everyone's heart. And so it's a really new time. So even though we're talking about something that happened roughly 2,000 years ago, there's no reason to think that that can't happen to each and every one of us if it hasn't already happened. The person that you know in your life that you have the hardest time being around because they're mean, they're not friendly, they're not warm and welcoming, whatever term it is about them that bothers you, they can be changed. They can be changed. That's this whole point of Advent, that no matter where you're at in your life, if you need to change to get closer to the Lord, we are all capable of doing that. And so in the Friday evenings when we're talking about Scrooge, and you can go back and think of whether you read the book or whatever version of Scrooge that you saw, he has no social redeeming values at the beginning of that. There is nothing about Scrooge that you could go, gosh, I'd like to just sit on his lap because he's almost like Santa, because he would be the opposite of that. What John is telling everybody is no matter where you're at in your life, you can be a changed person. And you may not be able to do it on your own, but you can do it with the Spirit of the Lord. And again, he does not want people to think this is about him, because it's not. Just as you go out as a messenger, when we were talking in the children's story, when you're delivering the Lord's message, it is not your personal message. You are delivering the message that God has put in your heart to deliver to others. And you don't want it to be your message. You want it to be the message that Jesus Christ put in your heart to share. And so make sure when you're sharing, that's what you're doing. And most important of all, again, it's not about us, but it's how we can lead either ourselves or others to God. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that, again, we can come together this day to worship and to praise you. As we go out into your world, let us be the messenger to deliver your message to those who do not know you, do not know the love that you share with each and every one of us. Be with all of us as we go out into your world. Amen.